bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. You ever see yourself on video? Like when you sit on a radio, you kind of sit like this. But then when you see yourself, you sit up, straighten up. Want to make a look all completely and totally unnatural. It's like being a anchor on TV. Because I don't care. That's why I got a face for radio. Oh, yeah. All right. Boom, boom, boom. I got so much stuff to do. I have so many things I want to do and not enough time in the day. Hey, Truth Nation, violence is a problem that affects us all, but together we can make a difference. And the award-winning 101.7 The Truth wants to ignite positive change and bring awareness to the senseless violence, like what happened with two Milwaukee police officers that occurs in our community. This is why we're hosting the third annual Truth Walk Against Violence, led by Tori Lowe, Saturday, July 12th. We're leaving from the Victory Over Violence Park right down MLK Drive to our studio at 3rd Street Market Hall. Over these next few weeks, Tori Lowe will be speaking with politicians and community leaders about how we can better provide resources to stop some of this senseless violence. If you want to join this fight to stop violence, go to truthwalkagainstviolence.com. It's all one word, truthwalkagainstviolence.com. Right now, sign up for Walk Against Violence, supported by 1MKE. That's Saturday, July 12th, from 9 a.m. till 12 noon. All right? Okay? Get it? Got it? Good.
Number five.
So I'm going to be going through some cases that just cleared the way yesterday and today from the Supreme Court. Now, we talked about a little bit of it in the news, but I want to jump in and kind of give you my take on some of the cases. So this is from CNN.com. The Supreme Court today upheld a Texas law that requires age verification for pornographic websites in one of the most closely watched First Amendment cases to arrive at the high court in years. Now, that seems weird to me, but I'll go on. The adult entertainment industry has challenged the Texas law as violating the Constitution because it restricted the ability of adults to access protected online speech. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the opinion for the 6-3 court divided along ideological grounds, with the court's three liberals dissenting. The statute advances the state important interest in shielding children from sexual explicit content, Thomas wrote, and It is appropriately tailored because it permits users to verify their age through the established methods of providing government-issued identification and sharing transactional data. So the Texas law, get this, requires any website that publishes a substantial amount of content that is harmful to minors to verify the age of the minor. The challengers said the law forces adults to identify themselves, such as by providing an ID, before accessing pornography, which the group's lawyer said violates access to free speech online because it would chill adults' access to the content. And then they wouldn't make money. So Texas law is similar to more than a dozen others across the country that require users to submit some form of a proof of adulthood. The Supreme Court, over the many decades past, has embraced a robust view of the First Amendment. Last year, it suggested that social media companies are entitled to First Amendment protection for their content moderation decisions. All right? But it has taken a more nuanced approach when it comes to laws permitting to limit minors who would want access to obscene material. Supreme Court in 1997 unanimously invalidated provisions from a federal law intended to protect minors from indecent material online because it also imposed First Amendment burdens on adults. But in reviewing the Texas law, the Fifth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals instead relied on a 1968 precedent in which the Supreme Court let stand a New York law barring the distribution of obscene materials to minors. Wouldn't you error on the side of, if you really want to see pornography, prove your age, versus kids can just look at it at will? Like, that sounds bizarre to me that you would let a kid, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, literally come across pornography on the internet. Now, if it's your kid and you want your kid to see pornography, great. But that's just kind of weird. And so when people argue things, and I always find it interesting because we always argue things based on our own ideology and the court's ideology, when in fact, it's actually harmful to children. Like, it's been proven over the last, 100 years. But yet we hide behind free speech so we can make money. That's kind of bizarre to me.
Number 4.
The Communications Act of 1934 established the Federal Communications Commission, instructed it to make available to all people of the United States reliable communication services at reasonable charges. That's the U.S. Code 47, Section 151. That objective is known today as universal service. The Universal Service Project arose from a concern that pure market mechanisms would leave some populations, you know, the poor, people living in the rural areas, without access to needed communications. Because what they'll say is, well, I'm not paying for it, because it'll cost me too much money to build out there. Well, under the 1934 Act, the FCC pursued universal service primarily through implicit subsidies, using its rate regulation authority to lower costs for some consumers at the expense of others. In 1996, they amended it, created a new framework for achieving universal service. Section 254 of the amended statute says, every carrier providing interstate telecommunication service to contribute to a fund called the Universal Service Fund. You probably see it on your little bill. We're still paying for, I think they just took it off. We were paying for the War of 1812. You know, you look at your phone bill, you got all these fees in it. You should go back and watch that. So the FCC must use this money in the fund to pay for universal service subsidy program. So people that are poor, people that are in rural areas, schools, libraries, rural hospitals, all that stuff, right? They have to consider to which extent a service is deemed essential to education. And so what happened is somebody went to court and they sued because they wanted them to understand what, quote unquote, where was the phrase, what that service was. and what was educational? Because some people tried to say, well, no, it's not educational, or it's universal service contribution violates your rights. I shouldn't have to pay into it. But what happened is somebody went to court and calculated how much money they were paying, and they said, well, we shouldn't have to pay this. We shouldn't have to pay this. So a company went and sued the Federal Communications Commission and said it violated the non-delegation doctrine, which means basically that they didn't have an opportunity to pass it along to someone else, right? They had to pay it. And there are other things in here with the FCC versus this company, Consumers Research. What it came down to is that the FCC said, well, not the FCC, but the U.S. Supreme Court, they held that it didn't actually, it wasn't a contribution scheme, that it doesn't violate non-delegation doctrine. You got to pay it, because the fact that you're rural or you're poor, that can be considered educational. A library, doesn't matter. It's educational. What they found is that if I'm paying for something in a rural area that then causes a person to learn, it's educational. So they had a sweeping inclusion, I guess I can say, to help the FCC say where we can spend the money and where we can't. Some places just wanted the money. Some places got the money and didn't do anything with it. And the Supreme Court finally said the universal service contribution scheme clears the non-delegation bar, which means the FCC had to give them money to help them help the people in the rural area. Because what happened is the FCC started to say, hey, we get to tell what's educational or not. And so Consumers Research said, no, the law already says what's educational. And so they sued and the FCC lost. So now they are going to continue to help people. Now, what's the genesis of this? Folks in DOGE are trying to make cuts all over. So they see something and they see poor, or they see, and they just cut it. And somebody sued and went, whoa, time out, player. You can't just cut us off. Like, we literally only have, think about this, electricity, gas, and communications in rural areas, because it's too expensive to build it out, is because the government comes in and pays for it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. We wouldn't have education. We wouldn't have electric. We wouldn't have gas. We wouldn't have water. Like, what? And luckily, somebody sued and went, okay, you're being stupid. And they won. So hats off to them. Now something more, I don't know, controversial.
Number three.
The Supreme Court today ruled that a group of Maryland parents have a right to opt their elementary school age children out of instruction that includes LGBTQ plus themes. By a vote of 6-3, the justices agreed with the parents that are Muslim, Catholic, and Ukrainian Orthodox that the Montgomery County School Board's refusal to provide them with an option violates their constitutional right to freely exercise their religion. And so a lot of people were up in arms about the case. Everybody was upset. So here's what happens. They want to start infusing books about LGBTQ plus lifestyles into the curriculum. Some of the people, Catholic, let me go back, Catholic, Muslim, and Ukrainian Orthodox, said, no, I don't want my children to read that. So initially, they gave them an option and said, hey, you can opt out. And so they gave you a little box, you can opt out. What problem do you think they ran into when people opted out? So many people opted out. There were like 5 students in the class. So you know what the school did? Instead of honoring that or recognizing people don't want these books in the curriculum for whatever reason, it's a personal reason. They removed the opt-out option and made all the students read the books, have the instruction. And that's what people were upset with. I get to decide what my child does and doesn't do while they're in school. You can call me narrow-minded. You can call me dumb. You can call me stupid. You can call me what you want, what you want, you know, whatever. But in the end, I am the parent, and I get to decide what my elementary school-age child hears, reads, everything, right? They're basing it on their religion. The school flipped and said, nope, it's mandatory. Everybody has to go. And they sued all the way to the Supreme Court and won. Without looking at the people who argue on both sides of narrow-minded versus trying to norm your kids and make, you know, same-sex weddings normalize, whatever your argument is for or against, should not weigh above a parent being accountable for their child, because had the child got hurt, you would have held that same parent accountable. Or if the child ends up reading, guess what? Heterosexual pornography. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If the parent doesn't want it, it doesn't matter what it is. If I had somebody who said they didn't want their kid reading about slavery and slavery was in a book, I don't care. I'm cutting out Valentine's Day. I'm cutting out St. Patrick's Day. We already got rid of, what's that guy's name? The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria? Right. We got rid of that day, called it indigenous. Like, at some point, we just need to quit. If you don't want to read it, just skip over it. Like, we are, can you imagine the amount of money somebody spent going to the Supreme Court to not read a book? I get it, because a nonprofit probably stepped in and took the case. The issue I have is the school district that had to go to the Supreme Court to defend itself and waste taxpayer money. Because nobody talks about that. We always talk about we want parent involvement, and then these same people, when the parent steps up and says they don't want it and you want it, you actually like get the parent arrested. Makes no sense. We can't just sit down and talk about things civilly. Sounds familiar.
Number 2.
So this one is interesting. Politico.com, Supreme Court has preserved the provision in the Affordable Care Act that requires insurance companies to cover preventive health services like colonoscopies and HIV prevention drugs at no cost to patients. It's the fourth time in the last 13 years that the High Court has rejected major challenges to the 2010 health law. This time around, the vote was 6-3 with Justice Brett Kavanaugh writing the majority opinion. For a cross-ideological majority, 3 of the court's conservatives dissented. The case centered on a panel of experts known as the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force. The Affordable Care Act authorized the task force to specifically specify health screenings and other preventative services that insurers must cover without charging patients copays, deductibles, and other cost sharing. Now, tens of millions of people rely on those services, including cancer screenings, heart disease medication, drugs known as PrEP that prevents the transmission of HIV. And so opponents of the Affordable Care Act who object to the HIV drug argued that the task force chosen by the Secretary of Health and Human Services was unconstitutionally appointed. Supreme Court rejected the argument and reason that the members are not principal officers because the health secretary can ignore their recommendations, fire them, or replace them. So I think this is a very good thing, that no matter who pays for what, preventative services, preventative methods, right, are probably the most important thing. Yes, treatment is important, but to get you to a point where you don't need treatment, I think that's a little more important. But that's just me. I'm just one guy.
number one.
Well, here it is. Supreme Court today granted the Trump administration's request to partially pause rulings by three federal judges that had blocked Donald Trump's executive order ending birthright citizenship, that is, the guarantee of citizenship to virtually anyone born in the United States. By a vote of 6-3, the justices repudiated the concept of universal and nationwide injunctions that prohibit the government from enforcing a law or policy anywhere in the country. The justices did not weigh in on the question at the center of the three lawsuits, whether birthright citizenship order itself is constitutional. And so what people need to understand about this is the left is going to say it didn't go far enough, and the right's going to say we won, when in fact, nobody won. Here's what they said, and this is what should have been done all along, and every time somebody tried to change it, a different party got in power, and then they let it go, right? So here's an example. I go to court. I say he has his birthright order, and I don't like it. So I go to a federal court in the jurisdiction where I live because I know it's liberal, and I go to that court. And that federal judge says, hey, we freezing it, put it on hold. Everyone is always taking it to mean that when a federal judge halts something, it's halted countrywide because they're federal. When technically it should be just their district. So if you're in the Northwest, you're out west in the Ninth Circuit, that is probably the most liberal circuit in America. That's where you're going to go because they're probably going to side with you if you're liberal. And then they've got some conservative circuits as well. I say that to say it shouldn't be that way. A federal judge in your district, because Kyle comes to me as a judge and says, I want to stay this order. I don't want this to happen. I want to pause it. And I pause it. It shouldn't pause that order everywhere in the country, it should just pause it in the district where I am, right? Well, that's not what federal judges do. When there's a liberal president, they go to a liberal district and they get something frozen for the entire country when it's probably not supposed to be that way. And then they get mad at the other side and then they flip it until they're in office and then they go to a conservative justice and say, hey, freeze this. And then they get it frozen all over the country, which is not appropriate. And so what the Supreme Court said was that this thing of federal judges putting in a stay and it's being frozen in all districts, when in fact it should be only be frozen in the district where the person who came to court to stop it froze it. What they're really saying is that you need class action status for it to be nationwide. If you want to stop something on a national level, there needs to be class action. Now, the problem is, you know how hard it is to meet the criteria for a class action lawsuit? Pretty steep. And it might be a little expensive. So that's what we have now. They didn't make a determination on whether or not birthright citizenship was legal or illegal, constitutional or unconstitutional. They're saying that when a judge comes in and says you can't do that, they're only talking to the people within their jurisdiction. They're not talking to people nationwide. Now, what that's going to have is an effect when a Democratic president comes in and a Republican doesn't like what they do and they go to court and they'll try to freeze it nationwide, and they'll say, no, you can't do that. Under the Trump administration, the Supreme Court said that you can't do that. And that's the way it's going to go. I personally think I agree with this, that it needs to be a broader way, but we have to be careful how it's used. We need some criteria. We need all those things. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Time to upgrade your windows and your doors, but you don't want to spend a lot of money. You know, summertime, you want to go on vacation, do something. Well, Pella, the best in the industry, has a product line for every single budget. Right now, today, the 27th. Right now, you can get zero interest, zero payments for up to 2 years. So if you were trying to wait, guess what? You can get it done right now. And wait to start making payments for up to 2 years. Certain restrictions apply. Ends 3 days, June 30th of 2025. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com.
One call, that's all.
One call, that's all. Is right now is your chance to be our one call, that's all 5K giveaway entry for today. June 27th, 2025. Yes, you can be entered in to win $5,000 courtesy of Gruber Law Offices. Be caller number 8. Caller number 8 right now at 833-212-1017, and you'll be entered in to win the $5,000 giveaway with the award-winning 101.7 The Truth and Gruber Law Offices. Again, 833-212-1017 is the number to be caller number 8. Remember, if you or your loved one has ever been injured in an accident, call Gruber Law Offices today. Contact them at gruber-law.com. That's gruber-law.com. And again, for official contest rules, visit 1017thetruth.com.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. What's up, Atlanta Banana? There will be fireworks in approximately 9 parks per the City of Milwaukee 4th of July Commission. There's a 4th of July Commission? Oh, my gosh. Really? Well, it's not like they give commissions money anyway, so never mind. White Widow said, drone show at Lakefront for the 4th. No fireworks. Will not be the same. I'll pass. Thank you. Hey, want to say congratulations to Greg. He's our qualifier for the 5K giveaway with Gruber Law Offices. So, gruber-law.com. So, I'm just saying. Let me see what I'm going to be talking about because I got... It was one of those days. There was too much news, and there's so many things going on, and I wanted to talk about everything, and next thing I know, I looked up, and I forgot to tell you. Where is it at? See if I can find the website. Okay, it wasn't that one, so I got to check. One more website. Was it that one? Oh, my gosh. Anyway, the founder of The Whispers died. I was kind of bummed about that. You know, that was one of my groups. You know, I like The Whispers. And he passed away. So that was unfortunate. And, Walter Scott. The R&B world is mourning the announcement of the death of Walter Scott, a member of the soul group The Whispers. According to Soul Tracks, the co-founder of the group, who was battling cancer, died at the age of 81. It was confirmed by Desiree L. Benson, who works with The Whispers promotional team. We are incredibly heartbroken. It's a deep sadness. As we confirm the passing of Walter Scott, beloved member of the legendary R&B group, The Whispers. His voice, his presence, all that. That's unfortunate because I like The Whispers. I really do. And their music was simple, you know. But that was back when music had a lot of innuendo. It did. It did. It had a lot of innuendo and a lot of, you know, a lot of things that we, you know. But you might not understand it. You might not understand it. So they made songs like that. It's a love thing. So. All right. So, I mean, now this is the song I got to admit. This song drove me crazy. The reason it drove me crazy is because every time I heard it, like, it was just a cheesy song. It was just, I don't know. Something about this song just. Like 1970s. Black and white, you know, like when color first came out, you know, rock steady. So, I don't know. So anyway, that's unfortunate. He passed away, and I'm gonna miss that music. Probably not. Probably not. Yeah. It's that bubblegum type, you know, for older people. Older bubblegum, you know, like it's almost, I don't know. I never really understood why people liked the Whispers, but they were kind of cool. They kind of got on you. You know, you kind of got on. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk about a case that the Wisconsin Supreme Court upheld. And I want to explain it to you by saying the nurses in the UW health system, they got punched in the face. And now with 101.7 The Truth Traffic, here's Debbie Lazica.
Eastbound 94, we've got delays from before Highway 164 all the way through the Barker Road area. You're back on the brakes from the county line all the way to about 35th Street. On the westbound side, it's actually looking pretty good. Northbound 43, heavy from Fond du Lac Avenue to Keefe. Southbound, slow from Good Hope Road, pretty much all the way down past Fond du Lac Avenue. And then we do still have this accident on 94 southbound just before you get to the airport spur off on the right shoulder. And checking the TMJ4 Storm Team forecast. Tonight, partly cloudy skies, lower humidity, a low of 63. Then tomorrow, mostly sunny, a high of 78 at the lake, 84 inland. From the WTMJ Traffic Center, I'm Debbie Lazica on 101.7 The Truth.
More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. I was just looking. A kid got bit by a shark at Jones Beach. In New York. How? Now, let me be honest. I hang out in New York sometimes. And I was actually planning, and I had to detour this year. I was headed to Sag Harbor to go hang out. I was going to do a trip. It's about an hour, two-hour drive from New York. More like the Oyster Bay area. I think I can fly into Islip or Islip, however you'd pronounce it, and drive. But I don't feel like driving that far. And I don't take those little puddle jumper. When I can see the propeller going around because I'm sitting 5 feet from it on an airplane, I'm not trying to do that. I am not trying to do that at all. So yeah, I've been bit by a shark. All right, so JS Online has a story. UW Health is not legally required to recognize its nurses' union or engage in collective bargaining, unanimous state Supreme Court ruled. When we examine the statutory language along with the statutory history, we conclude that Act 10 ended collective bargaining requirements formally placed on the University of Wisconsin Hospitals and Clinics Authority, writes Justice Brian Hagedorn in an opinion released today. The court's ruling upholds previous decisions by Wisconsin Employee Relations Commission and Dane County Circuit Court. It also brings to the fore the lasting impact of Act 10, you know, the part everybody was screaming and hollering and fighting and, oh, I can't stand it, I hate it. But then when you looked at it, it saved cities money and it saved everybody. And then after 5 years, firefighters and cops had to pay into their own pension and they lowered the. And so everything kind of balanced out and it went away. Well, Hagedorn, the author of the court's unanimous opinion, provided legal counsel in the creation and defense of the law, and Jacob Frost, the Dane County judge who previously ruled in UW's favor, appeared to have signed a petition to recall Walker over the law. Right? Now, how could that happen? How could two people that wanted to recall somebody get on a court and then support the law? Here's why. When you sit in court as a judge, you have to be what? Impartial. And you have to weigh both sides against the law. And I'm not doing a good job of explaining it because I was on the law enforcement side. I wasn't a lawyer nor a judge. But what it came down to is that the law says no more. You can have a union, but you can't collectively bargain. Your raise is based on what? Inflation or whatever. And that's it. And let's not get into the fights of, you know, what was the longest? Maybe 5-6 years. Police supervisors went without a contract for 5 or 6 years. The entire time I was a sergeant, half that time, I was a sergeant for 10 years. Half that time we didn't have a contract. So I was making, I think at the time, let me see, I was making about $40,000 a year. Think about that, $40,000 a year. So all the time I'm working, they have to pay me back pay because the contract covers the time that it expired. Well, the contract had been expired for 5 years. So that means over 5 years, I got step pays each time based on what my new pay would be, plus you got to pay the difference of whatever I was making per hour while I worked for 5 years. So you're talking 2,080 hours per year. You know, it's 40 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. Times five. It might have been closer to six. So think about how much money they paid. You know what our, I'm trying to remember, our salary went from $40,000 to $78,000, like overnight. It was ridiculous. And then you got a back paycheck. Guess what happened in 6 months? The 5-year contract ended and we were back in negotiation. It was crazy. That stuff needs to stop. You need to be able to control the cost for a city so a city doesn't go through what they go through. Just like they did with Act 10, and they were able to change the pension system so that the city won't go broke paying out pensions. When I think about the way the city pension is structured, you got to bring more people to town. Just be able to pay everything. Forget the salary. I'm just talking about all the bonuses and they don't really give out bonuses, all the pay increases and step increases and all that stuff. So it's tough. Miles said, y'all quiet today. And then not really a city girl said, I'm running errands for my friends who's still in the hospital paying her bills. I wish I had a friend like that. Well, no, I don't. Anyway. Interesting. Interesting. So you just walk in and listen. I can appreciate that. But yeah, we need to recognize the state Supreme Court, with both liberal and conservatives on it, voted to uphold the law. And then whoever wrote the story had to throw that in. Well, you know, we have to fight our collective bargaining, you know. Well, the nurses said in a statement, our fight to restore collective bargaining rights don't end in the courtroom. Well, where do they end? We will continue to explore all pathways to restore our full collective bargaining rights. You can't. The Wisconsin Supreme Court said, no, we got Act 10. Act 10 held up in court. It held up to judicial scrutiny, and now you got it. We're done. And so many people have structured all of their payment and all of their budgets on that. And you want to just rip it up and make the taxpayers pay for it? I don't think so. That's over. Wisconsin Employment Relations Commission ruled in November 2022, UW Health is not required to by law to recognize their union to engage in collective bargaining. So they went out on a strike. I think that's what the strike was about. Their last union contract expired in 2014. At the time, Act 10 eliminated most collective bargaining for public employee unions, barring it from negotiating a new contract. So, and the state Supreme Court said, yep, that's true. You're done. And so, I mean, I understand and I feel for them. Now UW Health needs to come up and come up with some money that they need in order to make sure that those things are taken care of. Right? I'm just saying, because, you know, nurses need loving too.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. It's Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Hey, Truth Nation, violence is a problem that affects us all, but together we can make a difference. The award-winning 1017 The Truth wants to ignite positive change and bring awareness to the senseless violence occurring in our community. That's why we're hosting the third annual Truth Walk Against Violence, led by Tori Lowe, Saturday, July 12th, Victory Over Violence Park, right down MLK to our studio, 3rd Street Market Hall, so over the next week or so. Tori's going to be interviewing politicians, community leaders about how we can better improve this city, bring resources to stop the violence. Come join us. TruthWalkAgainstViolence.com is where you can register. That's Truthwalk Against Violence. Right now, sign up to walk against violence. Supported by 1MKE. That's on Saturday, July 12th from 9 till noon. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tori Lowe Show's coming up next. We got the best of all weekend long. God willing, I'll see you on Monday with Truth Roundtable. We got some powerful topics coming up. And, of course, on Monday night, Truth Unfiltered. So it'll be great. Hey, y'all. God bless. Take care. Thank you, Rhea. Appreciate you. I'm out.